Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss. I think you're going to find today's podcast fascinating. Our guest is author and speaker, Dr. Kathy Cook, and we'll be talking today about praying for and parenting according to the God-given bent and smarts the Father has given your kid. I had a huge aha moment again today, and I bet you will too. Hey, first, how thankful are you for the Moms in Prayer podcast in your world this month? So glad, right? A couple weeks ago, I issued the first podcast challenge to give a small gift back to Moms in Prayer. If you're new around here, you may not know that there is no charge to be a part of Moms in Prayer. Our online resources and prayer sheets are available at no cost to you. We're fully funded by donations. If you want to learn more about the incredible stewardship of our ministry, you can go look at all the awards on the Moms in Prayer website. But what if we all gave a small gift to Moms in Prayer this month? What if all of us who attended a group gave $10? The tidal wave that would happen for the Moms in Prayer ministry would be amazing. It would be a game changer. All we have to do is text 41444, type in the keyword prompted. That's text 41444 and type in the keyword prompted. And you can give a donation of any amount as just a small way of saying thanks. If you hate this idea, you can blame me, but I've never felt more grateful for Moms in Prayer than in the middle of this season in my motherhood journey. And now, friends, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Kathy Cook. Kathy Cook, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
It's so fun to get to see you in person on my screen, but to get to finally talk to you, it's been a long time coming. So would you introduce yourself to me and to our audience?
So I'm Kathy Cook. It's spelled K-O-C-H, which no one knows if they don't know of my work. So that's a fun lesson on how ridiculous the English language is. I have an earned PhD from Purdue University, used to be a teacher, coach, school board member, professor. Thought I would do each of those roles forever. And God kept calling me to a ministry primarily to work with parents, which was stunning because, as you know, I'm single without kids and thinking, you know, what right do I have? And it's a really interesting story of how God equips his people to do his work. So I live in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area originally. Was a professor in Green Bay, so moved from Green Bay to Fort Worth. I have a fabulous brother who married my best friend. They have three kids. They really are my family. Both of our parents in heaven already, which is sad. Raised really well, really grateful. Was raised in church, became a follower of Christ at the age of 19 when things began to make sense. And that's a whole nother story. And we'll go there if it's relevant to our interview.
What do you enjoy doing besides working with families and that kind of thing on your very own on a day off? What would you do?
Yeah, on the rare day off. Well, I'm going to the gym when you and I are finished with the interview. So really an honest answer is I hired a fitness trainer 11 years ago before my knee replacement surgery, thinking I'd have her for a few months, you know, to get me ready. And 11 years later, she's become a great friend. My time in the gym is precious to me. I think we need to take seriously our role. My body's important. My strength is important for me to do what I do. I want to do it a long time. So I do it to take care of myself because we're stewards of our bodies. But I also do it because it is a stress reliever. It's really actually fun only because I hire a trainer. I would not go on my own. I'm a wimp. I wouldn't challenge myself, but it's been really good. So that's a main thing I do. I also enjoy jigsaw puzzles. So I will often have a jigsaw puzzle on a card table in my home. Visiting with friends, because I travel all the time. When I am physically present in Fort Worth, I do enjoy booking my calendar for lunch and dinner to keep attentive to the people in my world who live here.
I think we would love to spend time together too. That sounds fun to me. Nothing like a jigsaw puzzle. Do you mind another person at the table with you, or do you conquer alone?
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. In fact, at Christmas break, when I'm with my family for an entire month, we will often be going through the jigsaw puzzles. And it's fun to sit. In fact, I recommend that parents do it. I mean, we do them differently according to how our mind works. You know, you sit down and do one piece, and 30 minutes later, you're still there, and you're talking to your kids, and the kids are talking to each other, and you're having conversations, because especially boys prefer to talk when they're busy. So it's a great way to get the conversation going.
That is a great way. So tell me how this journey and passion developed inside of you. A little bit more about this process of working with students and families.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. I was raised well. I was a celebrated kid. My ministry is called Celebrate Kids. And I don't come to ministry because I was, you know, broken, and we all are. But I don't come to ministry because I was not parented well. I came to ministry because I was so distraught at how many weren't. And I knew that it was possible for parents and grandparents and siblings and aunts and uncles and cousins to be a collective unit. That's the village, if you will, that I think God would ordain for us as this family unit. And so really, I love to learn. And I babysat from the time I was old enough to do so. I just have always loved kids. Just knew I wasn't to have any of my own. I have no memories of playing Barbie with a wedding dress, which is really remarkable. I really believe I'm called to be single. It helps to have a brother who welcomes me into his home, who said to me when I was young, if you stay single, our home is always your home. We'll always have a bed for you. We'll never forget your birthday. And Lee, that's huge, because a lot of single people do worry about those kinds of things. When I was a professor, was asked to speak at a PTA meeting, and I know as a professor, I have to get out of the ivory tower, if you will, and go out and be an ambassador. And so I thought, well, I can do one little meeting, but I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not a parent. What am I doing? But I spoke, and Lee, they were on the edge of their seats. And I discovered, you know, that parents, the joke is, right, that you guys are trained how to give birth, diaper feed, and bathe, and they send you home.
I felt that. I've totally felt that. They handed us that car seat, and I was like, what just made me qualified to take them home? I don't even know.
So I discovered that my content, the things that I'm passionate about children, transfer from the classroom to the classroom at home, if you will, the dining room table, the bed as you're putting your kiddos to bed. And so just really passionate that parents raised the kids they were given, not the kids they wish they had. Celebrate Kids means we should celebrate them for who they are, not just for what they do. I'm so honored that God would allow me a position of authority and privilege to bless moms, dads, and kids directly, and teachers as well. Just really blessed.
Kathy, you have written a great book, 8 Great Smarts, and I love that it takes a look at the different kids that are in our home, that it's just so obvious to me as a parent of 4 that no 2 of them are the same. The way we parent them is not the same. They are not cut out of the same cookie cutters. We even have adopted kids in our home, so of course they're not the same. But talk to me about this book and kind of the genesis that began.
Howard Gardner is the researcher behind the model. He's a brilliant professor at Harvard University and discovered as a psychologist that we have 8 different intelligences. If you took the brain and did MRIs of people doing different tasks, you would see different parts of the brain light up and get hot, if you will. So we all have the capacity to develop all 8. The earlier they're awakened, the greater the likelihood they're a strength for a lifetime, which is why those early developmental years are so important, and often why, frankly, adopted kids coming out of a negative situation can really be challenged for much of their life, which is a sad reality. But it's never too late to awaken. You know, I believe that if we know who our kids are, we can motivate them and discipline them and inspire them and teach them in the ways they should go according to the bent that they've been given. I'm word and logic, so I problem solve, I cause effect. Comparison, contrast are very easy skills for me. That's how I really live a lot of my life. Others not like me struggle more in traditional school. I'm passionately, and I know you are as well, that our children are successful in life. School is a portion of life, but we weren't created for school. We were created for life. And Jesus came to give us an abundant life, not an abundant education. So let's awaken all 8 and strengthen all 8, not just so that kids have a better educational experience and comprehend more and apply more and remember more, but that they would engage in all of life, that there would be hobbies when they're older, and that they would have a career that are meaningful because they match the way that they were designed to be smart.
So how does society commonly define smart, and why is it important as parents that we start to key in on the difference between smart and our new definition of smart that you're giving us?
Great question. The traditional view would be that word and logic would be the smart, right? Did you read quickly as a kid? Do you read well now? Do you comprehend what you read? do you remember trivia? You know, a lot of IQ tests are how many inches in a yard. Well, who really cares? If you don't remember that, you know, Siri knows. So it's okay if we don't retain somewhat irrelevant data. Logic, a lot of people think that logical people are smarter, math and science, frankly, and again, that cause effect thinking that I was talking about. Those are what I call the school smarts. Traditionally, if you send your kids off to a school, we read, write, speak, and listen all day, and we ask and answer questions all day. And that's the logic smart brain is a questioning brain. And those are the kids who are going to find school to be an easier, more successful, more pleasant, a safer place to be. But they may really struggle with life, right? Because life isn't like that. Life doesn't have a logicness to it. Neither does God, which is why a lot of us can struggle with our faith, because you can't reason yourself there. You have to believe it. So we believe that, again, all eight really matter. All eight need to be respected at school and respected and admired in life. And we can go through what that list is. So traditional definition, reading and answering and asking questions, nothing wrong with that. But if you think about your life, there's much more to it. And that's what I want us to understand about our kiddos.
What do you think understanding this does for parents? How does that free us up to parent differently?
Wow, you know what? I've had so many testimonies, Lee. People who prayed for years, moms and dads who prayed that their kids would do well in school, or pray that their kids would be smart, if you will. And then they hear me speak and they have this epiphany and, oh my goodness, my child is smart. And they regret and they're filled with remorse sometimes. And they may ask to be forgiven if they were sinning against a child, expecting a child to fit into a mold that is their mold, not God's mold, if you will. There's joy, there's gratitude when we discover that our kids are smart, are wise, are capable, have great interests and great talent and great capability. For instance, I met a mom who was a scientist, wanted her kid to be a scientist. Well, a lot of sciences are word and logic and picture. Where the color of your blood, my brother's a chemist, and he can almost tell if you're sick by the color of your blood. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but really not much. But there are other sciences like earth science, meteorology, biology, oceanography, that are nature smart sciences. Lo and behold, her son loved getting dirty, loved digging in the dirt, had a memory for the names of the amphibians and the reptiles, and lo and behold, had to realize that my kid is science smart, logic smart, science, able to do well in science, but approaches it in a different way. So they find joy, they find contentment, they find peace about their kids. They can come to this place through prayer and through conversation and observation to go, my kid, there's nothing wrong with my kid. And my kid can be successful and might arrive at the answer differently from the way I would arrive at it, but is capable of getting there. So you know what, Lee? Moms who weep with me who go, I haven't ruined my kid. You know, my kid does have a brain. They'll sometimes say that to me.
And a bent given by God, a gifting that our schools don't naturally celebrate, right?
Right. Unfortunately, many of them don't. Many teachers want to. Many teachers are working so hard to do it well. And unfortunately, in my opinion, much in the system violates the way that our children were created to have eight different ways of learning and embracing life.
We've been talking about these eight smarts, but can you just kind of briefly walk us through the different eight smarts so that we can just get a little taste for what you're talking about?
Yeah, no, I'd love to do that. So word smart, we think with words. When we're excited, we probably talk. It's what you and I are doing right now. We couldn't have the ministry careers we have if we weren't word smart. Logic smart people, and again, all of us are all eight. So when we are being logic smart, we think with questions and we ask more questions when we're excited. And so if you have a child who's constantly wanting to know how things work, why is the sky blue? Why is my name Elizabeth? I mean, this is not a child choosing to be obnoxious. This is a logic smart child testing you because you're tired, of course, when they're asking you all these questions because you're a mom. The only reason those are the first two is that they're what I call the school smarts, that there's no other reason they're in that order. A third one is picture smart. When we're being picture smart, we think with our eyes, we think in visuals. We see pictures in our mind. We see pictures quickly on paper. We might remember what we see. We're more creative, imaginative. We do a jigsaw puzzle by color. Logic smart people do a jigsaw puzzle by shape and design. Again, just kind of a classic definition there. Picture smart kids tend to like history and fiction because they remember or they see the action. And so they enjoy history, they enjoy fiction. Music smart, kids think with rhythms and melodies. They may play a musical instrument, they may sing in tune, they may toe tap or turn pencils into drumsticks. And music smart kids, when they're excited, make music. So they hum, they bebop, their whole body is shaking, and they need clipboards and beanbag chairs and rocking chairs and the freedom to move and the freedom to have that music going on up in their head. And I really value that Howard Gardner has proven in solid research that Music Smart and Picture Smart kids are smart. These are not just talents. These are not just abilities. They're not just creative. They're creative because they're smart. And when I do my chapels and my youth groups and my public school assemblies, and I say that to kids, they're changed in the moment when they discover they're smart too. And I think that's one of the most powerful things I would love the moms listening to do, is if you know that this is your kid, to say, hey, I discovered something about you today. You're smart because of the way that you use color well. In fact, let your kids listen to the podcast and let them hear the experts talking about it. Number five is body smart. Body smart kids think with movement and touch, and they move more when they're excited. They tend to be athletes. They might be dancers. They might be actors who can carry their body a certain way. The clay sculptor, all of my surgeons I've ever had are body smart. I don't want them to put the body back together wrong. I want them to put the body back together right. Body smart kids might get in trouble in school for moving, but it's a way of being smart. Nature smart's number six. Nature smart kids think with patterns. And that's how they know it's a blue jay, not a blue bird, and an elm tree, not an oak tree, because they can remember which is curved, which is pointed, and where the blue is on the body of the bird. So nature smart kids think the patterns. They love to go outside when they're excited. They might gravitate toward, like I was saying earlier, earth science and biology rather than chemistry, physics, and general science. And they enjoy studying explorers within the history curriculum. So again, you can design your education for your kids according to how they're smart. The last two, really, really significant. People smart is number seven. When we're being people smart, we think with other people. It's really what you and I are doing here as we're asking and answering questions. And you and I can see each other. We're recording audio, but we're looking at each other. I'm watching your head nod. I'm watching the smile on your face telling me that I'm connecting with you, which hopefully means we're connecting with your listeners. And that's what a people smart person does, is use body language well, interprets it, and can use it in ways to extend the conversation and to extend the learning. So when we're excited, we talk to people. People smart people get in trouble for talking when they should be listening. And yet it's a very, very profound way of discovering truth. The last one is number eight, self-smart, and it's the exact opposite. All of us have all eight. When you're being self-smart, you think deeply inside of yourself. Self-smart people have deep insight. They tend to be slower thinkers. They can think they're stupid because no question is easy. Self-smart people, it has to just resonate. It has to sit right. It has to feel right. And if you excite a self-smart person, she wants to go off by herself and think more. So that combination I talk about in my book, combination of being both self-smart and people smart, which all of us are. But if you have both of those to a large degree, it can be internally confusing. And yet it's vital to have both of those. It can really be insightful and important for your family, for your community, for your church, and for you and your kids' future. What do you think?
I think I just had some aha moments about a child that I want to sit still and a husband that I haven't been able to put my finger on. So I feel like this is genius. But I imagine, Kathy, that this translates into spiritual areas as well, in ways that our kids would encounter the Lord and worship the Lord, what they would learn to appreciate about him. And so how have you seen these interact with our relationship with the Heavenly Father?
Yeah, it's so vital, isn't it? I'm glad you asked that question. Just quickly for myself, I was raised in church, very logic smart, had lots and lots of questions, went to college, roomed with a girl of a different faith, got really confused, wondered why the church, if the church saves you, why is the church different? I really thought the church saved you back then. We were there all the time. Didn't hear a whole lot about the saving work of Jesus and the denomination in which I grew up. Sadly, that's a true statement. But I found a youth pastor, my youth pastor, a believer in a liberal denomination, knew the truth, answered all my questions and said to me, Kathy, it's so easy, it's why it's hard. Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. And those of us who are logic smart, well, why would he do that? I didn't ask him to. And, you know, why are there four gospels when they tell the same story? And what about, you know, Revelation and Daniel? And he showed me the consistency. And Lee, my pastor showed me Colossians 2:3, that in Christ is hidden all wisdom and knowledge. And he said to me, Kathy, you want wisdom. God is wisdom. See, I'm an introvert from a very good family. I didn't need love. I thought I didn't need love. Satisfied with how much love I had in my life. I wanted wisdom. And I wasn't rejected for searching for that. I was taught in Jesus is hidden all that you want, Kathy, the wisdom. And then my pastor wisely showed me that the Holy Spirit would be my teacher. And I said, wait, what? The Holy Spirit would be a teacher and I would know more after salvation than I ever would know before. And I humbled my heart that day. And I tell kids, I turned off my head, turned on my heart, and chose as an act of obedience to believe. Then I turned my head back on, continued to search for knowledge and discovered, of course, that I needed to love God because of the love that he had for me. That's just a quick illustration. And I've had people weep with me. I've had kids across the world humble themselves and say, wow, you're right. I don't want my questions to send me to hell. That was a direct quote from a kid from Korea. I've had picture smart kids say, you know, God shows me what to do. And the parents are like, well, no, God doesn't work that way. Well, see, just because you're not picture smart and God doesn't show you doesn't mean he won't show your child. Because if your child is picture smart, your child thinks with, hears with, and even feels with the image. So God showed you where to go. God showed you the stature of prayer, if you will. I've had people tell me that they can't pray sitting still. And these are body smart kids who think best when they move. And they need to, now they need to learn the respect of a corporate setting or grandma's house. But again, in a family, I would love for us to allow them to be who they were created to be and allow your body smart mover, shaker, rattle, and roller to stand while praying and to pace while praying. And to even play with a quiet fiddler, a silent toy while praying, because I can almost guarantee you they'll concentrate better. I could go on and on. Self-smart people often don't like small groups. Self-smart people think best alone and they love their own thoughts. They can border on not being teachable, which is a dangerous thing. But I've had a lot of self-smart people reject the church because in the church, they feel forced to join a group, forced to sit in the middle, if you will, and they want the back row on the aisle. And that's the way that God wired them. I wish we would get better at respecting that. I could go on and on. Every book of my chapter includes a section on evangelism and spiritual development according to how you and your kids are smart. And I would encourage people, of course, to read that part of the book if they choose to purchase it.
Well, I love that the answers are found in the Lord as well, that he meets all of these eight smarts as well. He manifests a love for nature. He shows order and design. I mean, Romans 1 tells us that creation is revealing God to us constantly. And so as we interact with all of these things, this wisdom is found, just like you said, in our God. It just looks different. That's why we have a God that will have us worshiping in heaven. And fortunately, that won't be all that we're doing in heaven, as many suppose, because I think my body smart son would just die.
Yeah.
If he had to stay in a pew all day. So,
oh, yeah.
I wonder what role you think prayer plays in this discovery as parents.
Yeah, I think that we're humble when we pray, right? I mean, if we're praying to the God of the universe who we believe has the answers to our questions and is the one who ultimately meets our needs, then we're humbled. And that allows us to hear truth. It allows us to be teachable. It allows us to have that aha. And I know of many parents who have prayed prayers of repentance after hearing me speak and reading my book when they realized that they had limited their child's ability and capability by not understanding. And there's no shame or blame. You know, people who are hearing this for the first time, praise God that you've had me on the show and that they're discovering this. There's no guilt there. There's no sin that you've committed. And yet there are people who have said to me that that is a prayer they've prayed. Others, I think, to pray that God would reveal to us who our kids are and that we would begin, you know, in your case of having a body smart child who maybe moves a lot and it's frustrating, sit down, put that down, look at me. Maybe our prayer is, Father God, help me to see him the way you see him. And help me discover what is good about the way you've designed him to be smart. If you have a chatty Cathy, like I was a chatty Cathy, you know, pray that you would have the capacity to hear all the stories and that your children would learn self-control, self-respect, respect for others, humility, so that they don't have to prove how smart they are all the time. And I think prayers of gratitude, right? Father God, thank you for letting me raise this kid. And thank you for how you've designed my son to be smart and help me help him use it only for your good and your glory. Oh, prayer changes everything.
For the parents who know that their kids are atypical, school feels like something to be survived. I have one like this. What counsel, Cathy, are you giving her? What would you say to the parent who school is not fitting right now?
That's a fair question, Lee. To be very honest with you, depending upon the context in which I'm asked that question, one answer would be, have you considered homeschooling? Homeschooling is, I think, the best way to individualize instruction according to how children are smart, according to their personalities, according to any number of issues that are going on in their world. And I believe homeschooling is a possibility in all families. There are sacrifices that would have to be made and changes. I would have to say that for integrity, that I'm a huge fan of homeschooling. If your children are in a school down the road, then make sure that the child's teacher knows your child. Sit down with the teacher, respectfully say, hey, we've discovered some things about Jeremiah. Have you found out, as he's been in your class of 23 kids, that he learns best in these ways? A lot of teachers want to do it. They're desperate to do it well, and they have a lot of kids. They don't have the kind of time to get to know them. So I think that's a huge factor. And then ask that teacher if you can individualize homework as much as possible. And also make sure your kids know who they are. For instance, if your child knows that he's nature smart and he has a history assignment, he can study any person in the history of the state of Ohio. He should not study a politician that sits at a desk. He should study an explorer who discovered the state of Ohio. Maybe discover, why is that the state bird? Why is that the state flower? And allow them to discover how they're smart so they can at least have assignments that matter more to them, even if they're in a system that might violate the way they're smart. And lastly, I'll say probably the most important thing you do as a parent is make sure your kids know they're smart even when they feel stupid in school. That's true of homeschooling and any other kind of school option. If your kids are struggling and they don't fit a system and the math book doesn't work for them, the history assignments are too long, they hate music class or whatever's going on, let them know that, you know, they're not stupid because they're struggling. Struggle is a fact of life. That's why perseverance and diligence and effort matter so much. And we're not going to let you think of yourself as stupid. We're not going to let you give up just because something's hard. Those are also conversations that I would want parents to have. So it's not as simple, you know, you said we're not cookie cutter kids, and there's no cookie cutter answer really to your question, but that's a rambling attempt to give you a picture that I think is important.
Oh, but Kathy, I just think that's exactly the answer that we have to give. Well, first of all, I expected you to say homeschooling because I actually saw you for the first time at a homeschool conference. And then God has led us to school our kids differently since those days. And we've entered a public school system, which has been unusual. But one of the emphasis that we've put on is school is not the end of your life. This is just like you said, a very small portion of your life. Our goal as parents is to help you learn to love to learn. And that's important here in the middle of a public school system. It's important that we're cultivating a love for learning and an understanding of who they are and their kids and equipping them for the journey that they're on.
Oh, perfectly stated. Absolutely.
So I know what you're going to say. So I'm sorry for just even asking this, but is it ever too late as a parent to begin using this language in your home?
It is not too late. And I think that it's important that we embrace it for ourselves. It's not too late for us either. Depending upon your school experience, or if you had a dad or a mom or a first spouse who said you'll never amount to anything, or man, you are so stupid, and you've believed a lie, first I would say to the adult, deal with it and forgive if you need to, and dig into your own awareness. Read the book really as a learner yourself, perhaps listen to this podcast again with yourself in mind, and then help your kids understand it. It's never too late. The older they are and the more set in their beliefs they are about who they are, the greater the likelihood that you're going to have to dig deeper to get rid of the shrapnel that's wounded them. But it's not too late.
And what about grandparents? I imagine this would be incredible for grandparents to latch on to this idea of the smarts and begin to nurture alongside of their kids' parenting.
Oh, I love that you've asked that because I'm a huge fan of the grandparents being involved. In fact, every chapter, as you know, ends with recommended games that fit the smarts. And I think one of the best things grandparents can do is buy books and toys and experiences for grandkids so that each of these smarts is awakened. My brother, who's a chemist at Emory and somewhat world-renowned for something he's invented, became a chemist because when he was 10, grandma and grandpa gave him a chemistry set. And my brother attributes his chemistry career and ministry to a set grandma and grandpa bought him and parents who allowed him to make messes at the kitchen table. So grandparents, you guys rock. You're so significant. Absolutely.
Oh, we love our grandparents because we figure the kids aren't waking them up in the middle of quiet times most of the time. They are most strategically praying for the kids in their lives right now, sometimes even more than moms could possibly manage at this season of life. Yeah. Kathy, something that I'm thrilled about is that in our neck of the woods, there's a conference called Hearts at Home that's held in Illinois. used to be held every year with our friend Jill Savage. And Jill retired from Hearts at Home, and you are the new president of Hearts at Home. Tell me about this decision, because I mourned when I heard we would be closing Hearts at Home as a conference. And now I am thrilled at the reboot, Hearts at Home 2.0. Tell us about how this came about.
Well, Lee, thank you so much. And I love Jill Savage. And when her board of directors chose to close her ministry, Hearts at Home, I was devastated for thousands of moms. There were 98,000 moms in their database. I had been there 5 times as a speaker, knew that it was a ministry that mattered greatly to moms for a variety of reasons. So contacted some colleagues. Well, first of all, I reached out to Jill and the board of directors and asked, is there any way that you would be open to not closing, but transferring the ministry? And reached out to some colleagues, a gal that I met at a Hearts at Home conference as a mom in the audience. And we became connected in ministry colleagues. I'm a consultant for a school she founded. And she and her husband agreed with me to come forward. And the board of directors, after 6 months of a lot of work, we did acquire Hearts. So our first conference is March 15th and 16th, 2019 at Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois. If you're familiar with Hearts at Home, it's the same venue that Jill used to use. We'll be there on a Friday night for shopping and an extravaganza and a mom's night. And then all day Saturday, seminars from the main stage. We've got 7 phenomenal speakers, great worship, great comedian MC. We'll have a time of intercession. We've added prayer from the platform as a part of what we're going to do, Lee, because we know moms need to hear themselves prayed for, and moms need to pray, because without God's embrace, I just can't even imagine how much harder all of your lives would be. Our website is heartsathome2.org, heartsathome2.org. We have a great Facebook presence. We would love to have women join us there. And I hope that people will check us out. And I appreciate so much your heart for moms and that you would allow me to even mention that. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, we have in the past partnered with Hearts at Home, providing a prayer station for moms at Hearts at Home. And anywhere you're ministering to moms who are in the middle of impacting all these lives for kids, we want to be alongside of you fighting on our knees. We love that. Kathy, I'm so grateful for your example, especially as a single woman. I almost cried this morning thinking about you and praying about you, how invested you are in fighting for the lives of the next generation. I just want to bless you for that. And as we wrap up, Kathy, would you pray for our families that we would somehow be able to embrace this in our homes, 8 smarts. Because I imagine that there's moms on the other side of these earbuds going, I have a responsibility now to figure this thing out. And Lord, help me. Could you guide us in that way through prayer?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks. So Father God, thanks for being a part of the action here on the podcast. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for Lee and all that her ministry accomplishes. And we do pray for the parents listening, for moms and maybe even some dads who snuck in. Pray that you would equip them, empower them, guide them, comfort them. If they have regrets, let them know your thoughts about those. For any mom listening who doubts they're smart, would you show those women truth from your word with your presence? Would you remind them of past encounters they had with pictures and music and athletics and nature and English and science and math and whatever, that they would go, wow, maybe I am smarter than I thought I was. Would you help them reject the lies and embrace the truth? And would you help them do that for their kids? Give them new eyes and new ears to see and to hear what's really there. I pray that there would be an optimistic response to this podcast, that there would be hope, and that you would obviously be the one to inspire us to dig deeper and to not give up. Thank you, Father, for creating us and our kids in your image with so many gifts within them in advance that you would want us to use. Help us be the ones to mine those and find those gifts and bring them to the light, that the kids would be able to be the ambassadors of change and goodwill that you designed them to be. Go with us. Help us get this right. Help us relax, and in your timing, help us get it right. And I pray with a lot of optimism in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Pretty smart, huh? I really enjoyed learning from Dr. Kathy about the different kinds of smarts in my kids. And I've spent a lot of time thinking and pondering after this conversation. If you enjoy today's podcast, would you stop right now and leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast? And maybe leave a comment and maybe share it with a friend who's struggling to find the smart in her kid. You can find today's show notes and ways to connect further with Dr. Kathy on the blog today at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference, friends. Praying moms. Moms just like you. See you next week.